Good morning and welcome to The Breakfast Show. You're listening right across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88, wherever you are on the Faith FM network. And this morning you are joined by myself, Lawson, and sitting across from me, my good friend, Nikita. Nikita,
good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm alive, kicking. Well, I made it here.
You're alive. You're alive and kicking. That's powerful. You know, for someone, you're 22, 21?
No, I am 24.
24, okay. For someone who is the ripe age of 24, I'd expect that you'd be alive and kicking unless, you know, there was some kind of catastrophic thing that took place.
Well, my knees click quite a bit. So my patellas are actually swollen a little bit in the left side. So actually bike riding is really good for me.
Oh, okay. So you're alive and struggling to kick. Fair enough.
It's not painful. It's just more or less I need to find ways to be able to, lessen the load of my knees.
Do you know what is wrong with your deviated swelling patellas?
Actually explain it to me. So literally, yeah. I was just like, hey, like what exercises can I do? And she was like, oh, you can't do squats. You can't do lunges. I'm just like, okay, what about wall sits? And she's like, oh, you can't do that either, but you need to strengthen your thighs. I'm just like, but how can I strengthen my thighs elsewhere?
Yeah,
so she was like, just Google. And I was like, you're my doctor. I'm asking you.
Yeah, man. Maybe there's some doctors out there on the text line who could give us some advice. 0491-064-669. I totally know how you feel. I think I've had 3 MRIs in my right knee in my lifetime because I have like cartilage damage there and I don't have full movement. And I've gone to doctors at times and I've been like, hey, well, you know, I was given prescribed by them to go get an MRI. Yeah. I'm like, hey, so what should I do? And it's like, yep, we definitely see the damage there. I'm like, okay, so what can I do? And they're like, just look after it. And I'm like, is there something else? Like, is there a way I can get the cartilage? And they're like, well, coming up in today's news, we are going to be talking about hospitals and federal law. We are also going to be doing an interview with Tony Benjamin. In the good news, we are going to be talking about bakeries and we are going to be continuing our Bible study in the Psalms.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
And we are going to get into our first quiz question for today. Thank you, Nikita.
First quiz question is, was Goliath a Philistine or an Egyptian?
Oh, good question. Hey, if you know the answer to that one, 0491-064-669. Was Goliath a Philistine or an Egyptian? I've been thinking about, imagine like naming a kid like your son Goliath, right?
Yes.
But then he's short. Like that'd be really funny. Like I feel like that would just be awesome. Like and you know his nickname could be Go or Goal or something like that. But yeah, hey, was Goliath a Philistine or an Egyptian? 0491-064-669 is the number to text. If you know the answer to that one, if you do, you'll go into the draw to win Amazing Facts volumes 1, 2, and 3. That's 101 amazing facts in each volume. These books are just incredible. We want to give them to you absolutely for free. We're going to spin the draw at 8:45 this morning. So make sure you answer questions correctly at 0491-064-669. These books are full of, well, as the title implies, or just clearly says, amazing facts. And if you, you know, read them and whatnot, it basically has like a fact about history or nature or something like that, and then follows that up with some kind of spiritual application or, you know, a Bible verse, that kind of thing. It's really amazing, really powerful, great for illustrations, great for sharing with people, great for kids as well. Our number, 0491-064-669, was Goliath a Philistine or an Egyptian? Hey, we got a text message through for you, Nikita.
Oh, okay.
It says,
sweet.
Nikita, this is from Rachel. She says, Nikita, go to a physio. And then gives you some exercise advice here. I use an exercise band around the top of my knees and do butt lifts times, you know, 15, a set of 15 three times a day, strengthens the glutes and the thigh muscles.
So okay.
That can probably be helpful for your patellas and whatnot, what's going on with your knees. Rachel, do you have any advice about cartilage damage and what I should do there? Because right now it just looks like I'm on a path to getting a knee reconstruction by the time I'm 30. I think that's what it seems like. Hey, if you've got any medical advice, 0491-064-669 is the number to text. You are listening to The Breakfast Show this morning. Nikita, what is happening in the world of positively different news?
Okay, I'm going to answer that question with a question.
Okay.
Lawson, do you like bakeries?
Okay, so I grew up going to bakeries, you know, shout out. I think it was the Rathmines Bakery. I lived in Rathmines growing up. Hit it up the Rathmines Bakery. I loved, okay, there's two things that I really loved as a kid. I love like brownies and chocolate cake and whatnot.
Yeah.
But the other thing I really loved getting from the bakery, and me and my dad would go get it on like Sunday mornings when we didn't have anything on, go to the bakery. He'd, you know, we'd get like brekkie rolls or something, but then we would get vanilla slice.
Yes.
Just the best. Now, like, I'm vegan now. I'm dairy free. Like, don't eat any of that. But yeah, shout out bakeries. Bakeries are awesome.
No, absolutely. Have you ever been to a Japanese bakery?
No, but there is one in Australia.
Oh, there is?
There is one in Australia in Sydney that there's a I think there's a few Japanese bakeries around, but there's a Japanese bakery in Sydney that my friend was talking about that does vegan, gluten-free stuff as well.
I need to check that out.
Why? What's the deal with Japanese bakeries?
So I've been to Japanese bakeries before. I went to Japan for 3 weeks in 2017.
Wow, exciting.
And the thing about Japanese bakeries, which is quite different to the way that we do it in Australia, is that you've got them all out on different platters, freshly baked. Sometimes there's over 100 different types of categories of pastries that you can get.
Yeah, wow.
And initially, what was it? About 20 years ago, you'd have to manually log it in. So if you were a worker in these Japanese bakeries,
yes,
you'd have a customer come probably with like three different bakery pastries and everything like that.
And then
or sometimes 10. You have to find out of the hundreds to actually then go like, okay, this one is, you need to memorize which pastry is which. Sometimes they look exactly the same, but they're actually very different.
Yeah.
Or they look very different, but they're actually very similar to.
So I know some people who like work in bakeries, and basically the only way they tell the difference between like their pies, for example, is that they've got like different types of like lines or like, it's like, okay, a regular pie will have like this line, but like a chunky pie will have like this line twice or something like that. And you have to memorize like 20 different tops of pies or whatever.
Yep.
But in a Japanese bakery where there's like hundreds of things, you just need to memorize them.
It's crazy. So enter in a delightful software called Bakery Scan.
Oh, okay.
Now, Bakery Scan was initially started up as a project in 2007. So this one is an old baby, but there is something that changed in 2017 with it, but we'll start from...
Okay, Bakery Scan, 2007.
And it basically was, you'd put it in the stores, it was manufactured to be able to scan all the pastries and then make it less with contamination on the different pastries, but also so the workers wouldn't have to hand...
Yeah, it'd just be automatic. Especially speaking of Japan and like automatic stuff like that, it's similar to... There's a shop called Uniqlo.
Yes.
And when you get clothes from there, you just like, you don't need to scan things individually. It's like self-service, but you just throw all the clothes in this basket and it can just scan all of the clothes inside the basket. Like, like just in a pile. You can just throw a pile of clothes in there and it just goes beep, 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 beep. And it's like, yep, these are all the clothes that you're buying. So like very similar thing to Bakery Scan. Yeah,
definitely. And then in 2017, a doctor actually in Japan, I think it was somewhere in Kyoto, if I remember correctly, he actually saw a advertisement on Bakery Scan, and he was actually doing research on cancer cells.
Yeah, wow.
And cancer cells, some of them actually ironically look like donuts. So he actually reached out to the software producer for Bakery Scan saying, hey, would it be possible to purchase your device to be able to actually scan for cancer patients?
Okay, this is a twist that I was not expecting. Okay, so it starts off, Bakery Scan is like scanning people, well, scanning bakeries for whether they can find donuts or whatnot.
Yes.
And then now they've reapplied the technology to be able to scan
cancer
cells.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, and maybe you'll explain this, but I would love to think, like, is it really, he's just like, this looks like a donut that I would get from a bakery. And then he's like, you know what they have at bakeries? Software to scan whether you've gotten donuts. So therefore, the software should be able to scan blood cells.
Well, so it actually kind of.
That is incredible.
So he's been researching cancer for quite a bit of time, this gentleman, and he actually was at home and he actually saw the advertisement for bakery scan. I don't know what the advertisement was talking about. It didn't go into detail about that. Mm-hmm. However, he was just like, hold on. I've been studying cancer cells for quite a bit, and this is actually scanning different pastries. You've got donuts, bread, little balls filled with chocolate goodness. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, there's a connection here. Like, the cancer cells that I've been seeing on my screen kind of look like donuts. They look like sometimes different types of bread that they have in Japan as well. So he was like, I want to tap in on that. I want to try and use this AI system to be able to scan for cancer cells. And the accuracy rate, guess how accurate this AI system is?
Oh, I'm going to take a guess. I'm going to say like 80%, 90%.
98%.
98% accurate.
Yeah. Under the microscope with the cancer cells, it has a 98% accuracy in detecting the cancer cells.
Wow. That's amazing.
It is fantastic. The very fact... Well, it's not called bakery scanner anymore. It's called Saito AI scan.
Yeah.
And it's been adopted in two major hospitals in Kobe and Kyoto in Japan.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm just wondering, like, in terms of how they use this, do they draw blood from someone, you know, from an area they think has cancer or something, and then they just chuck it under the microscope for bakery scan to scan, or...
From the way that I can understand it at the moment is that they just, I think they put the person underneath, or they actually possibly do draw the blood. They actually didn't go into full detail, but it was just one of those odd things where it was like, okay, I think you do it this way. That's the way
that's amazing,
the way it was written made it sound as if it was no blood taken out or withdrawn.
Okay.
So it was just straight up similar to that of like a MRI scan and stuff.
Wow.
Like that.
So okay.
Like,
this is
pretty.
Because if it's seeing through the skin into the blood cells, like into the veins, into the blood cells, like that would be incredible.
Yeah. That'd be crazy.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Joined by myself and Nikita, and we have producer Shell in the well as well in the studio getting it done.
Yes.
I think I said producer Shell in the well, but you know, guys, it's a Friday morning.
I'm climbing out of the hole.
Yeah, praise God. Praise God.
Getting out for Sabbath.
Amen. You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Let's have our next quiz question, please, Nikita.
This quiz question is, what happened first, the Exodus of Egypt or the fall of Jericho?
All these questions are all one or the other, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's always going to be a 50-50 one today.
Yeah. So, guys, that means that basically if we could let everyone win, we would, but no, there's only one winner, and so we want you to try to win. This is what we really want from you guys.
Winner,
0491-064-669. What happened first, the Exodus of Egypt or the fall of Jericho? Again, we have amazing facts. We have three books of amazing facts compiled by Doug Batchelor as well. Facts from science, nature, culture, and history with a spiritual application. This is fantastic for children, fantastic for illustrations, fantastic for sharing with others. The people. It's amazing. Hey, we want to give these to you absolutely for free, but you can only get it if you win. So 0491-064-669. We've had a couple of text messages come through. Firstly, Suzanne says, Lawson, you know, you can get vegan vanilla slices. Still not good for you though. And we were saying during the break, we're like, I don't know how I'd go down just like walking into a random bakery and being like, I would like one vegan vanilla slice. Like I don't think many places have those readily available. There's probably somewhere you can buy them from, and I hope you can. Like, there are some things, like, for example, there's a company that sells vegan mint slice. Mint slice is, like, my favorite biscuit, and the vegan version is amazing. Like, so yum. And so I'm like, you know, that's awesome. But vegan vanilla slice, maybe someone's producing that. I haven't really seen it around the traps, but hey.
Probably Google those vegan bakeries if there's any vegan bakeries out there.
Absolutely. Then Rachel writes in. She says, Lawson, go to a physio too. They can help you work out and to protect your knees and strengthen the muscles around them. Absolutely. Hey, Awesome stuff, guys. Make sure you're sending in answers for those questions as well. What happened first, the exodus of Egypt or the fall of Jericho? 0491-064-669. This is your last opportunity to get in because the draw is today. Hey, in the news today, we are talking about, talking about hospitals, yes. Talking about what's happening in that space. And firstly, we're talking about the call to remove a euthanasia ad from a hospital here in Australia. Mm-hmm. Now, Caboolture Hospital, which is up in Brisbane, the Caboolture Public Hospital, has a 4x2 meter advertisement prominently positioned in front of where the hospital staff are that basically is promoting assisted dying or assisted suicide, euthanasia, and whatnot. And there have been calls to take this down. We have here Wendy Francis from, you know, leader of, director of politics from the ACL or the, you know, Australian Christian Lobby, labeling it as a heartless and brazen attempt to promote assisted dying to people who are at their lowest point in life.
Yeah.
Now, assisted dying is a very interesting topic to talk about because I feel as though there are a lot of arguments related to it that are very emotionally based, and so they should be. I think death is a very emotional thing to go through, a very difficult time, and particularly like the circumstances that lead someone to go through assisted dying. You know, and I think for me, I look at some of those things and I think like, oh, if someone's in pain and going to die, like, It would be pretty hard to deny them that. But simultaneously, you know, what we really see as people who are Christians as well, who have that standard for morality where dying and whatnot is seen as a sin and a problem. And when we look at the legislation that's given in regards to assisted dying, I just don't think it's justifiable. And this is the reason why. I want to read for you guys. This is like the act, you know, the eligibility criteria for voluntary assisted dying in Queensland that came in 2021. Mm-hmm. So to be able to receive assisted dying, right?
Yeah.
Like you need to be older than 18. You need to have decision-making capacity. You need to do it voluntarily and without coercion, but you need to have an eligible disease. Yeah. And the question is, well, what is an eligible disease? Well, they don't have any diseases listed. They just have criteria for those diseases, which is an eligible disease, illness, or medical condition is one that, so firstly, is advanced, progressive, and will cause death.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, expected to cause death within 12 months. So it has to have both of those things.
Yeah.
Like, and that's an and. So it's like, firstly, advanced, progressive, and will cause death, and is expected to cause death within 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
But then thirdly here, it says, and is causing suffering that is considered to be intolerable. It's like, okay. But what kind of suffering is that?
Yes.
Firstly, physical suffering. Secondly, suffering caused by treatment provided for disease or life condition. But thirdly, mental suffering as well.
Okay.
So essentially, like, the legislation here doesn't define whether, like, it doesn't say that this disease that you're suffering from has to be, you know, causing you death from physical symptoms.
Yeah.
Because all of the other, like, you know, stipulations for eligibility, it's like, it has to be this, and it has to be this, and it has to be this. But then we come to this section, and then it's like, it has to be causing suffering. It has to be causing either physical suffering or mental suffering or suffering caused by treatment for the disease. And so essentially, the legislation leaves the door wide open for people suffering from mental torment and anguish, from mental, you know, diseases or conditions to be able to access assisted dying. Now, you might be sitting there and looking at this and saying, well, there would be no doctor that signs off on that. Like, which heartless doctor would see someone who's depressed and say, you know what, you need to die? And I think here in Australia, being that this legislation is rather new, I think, I'd probably agree. I don't think many doctors would sign off on that. But in every single country where assisted dying is introduced, there is always a slippery slope to these kinds of stories happening.
Yes.
And we've covered them on The Breakfast Show before. You know, I think it was 2017, the 16-year-old who was struggling from depression in the Netherlands who fought for access to assisted dying and went through with it and died. We talked about the story in which there was a PTSD suffering veteran in Canada who went to their local VA or Veteran Affairs to be able to receive help for their PTSD, and they and what was suggested to them was, hey, you may have you thought about euthanasia? Like, this person's suffering from mental illness, and they're like, hey, have you thought about dying? Like, just incredible. And that person who received that advice would take you know, the VA to court over it. Like,
you're in a very vulnerable space as well.
And now they're like, hey, have you ever thought about just ending it all and bringing life to an end? And we want to say, if you're struggling with this kind of thing, 131114, that is the number for Lifeline. And to see that in Queensland, again, every single time assisted dying is introduced in any country, it's like, we have the strictest laws on earth regarding assisted dying. No, it's not a slippery slope. No, this will only have access to people who are suffering from really terrible, deadly diseases where they will die in the next 12 months. But again, if you reinterpret that to say, hey, if I don't receive assisted dying and I'm suffering from depression or PTSD or anxiety that's going to lead me to end my own life in 12 months, then why aren't I just ending it now? So I think that, again, this is a very slippery slope, and particularly when the legislation leaves that wide open and then you're promoting it from the front of the hospital, you create a circumstance in which this will happen. Now, the really interesting thing about this particular story is that recently, towards the end of 2023, the Federal Court of Australia ruled that assisted dying is now considered to be suicide under criminal law. So we've got state legislation saying that this is not suicide. If you read through the Assisted Dying Act in Queensland of 2021, it's like, for all intensive purposes, this is not suicide. This is voluntary assisted dying. This can't be criminally tried as suicide unless they are coerced into it. But in federal court, they're saying that this can be tried as it is a form of suicide. And so this is a very controversial space at the moment that a lot of people are, you know, confused about, because again, the question now coming from Caboolture Hospital is, are they breaking federal law by promoting voluntary assisted dying? Ultimately, I think that from a Christian perspective, again, looking at the slippery slope, as much as there can be a heart argument in this, as much as there can be a, but hey, if someone is going to die from late stage cancer and they're going through chemo and there's like no way, and there's no way that this is, well, they've been through chemo and there's no way that this is turning around. Like, why shouldn't they have access to voluntary assisted dying? Like, they're just suffering. And look, hey, we believe very much so in palliation or palliative care, that you can provide someone with the comforts needed when they are late stages in their life or late stage in a disease or whatnot, whether it be through, you know, mind-altering treatment. And that's even what the Bible prescribes, you know, giving and yeah, the Bible is very much against the consumption of alcohol recreationally, but it says, hey, if someone is on the edge of life, you know, you can either read through Proverbs or some of the advice given in the epistles and whatnot. It's like, hey, you know, give someone access to wine, because like, they're on the way out, and if they're dying, like, try and soften the blow a little bit.
Yeah.
But to just end their life on the spot without, and in some cases, like 12 months before, you know, death is going to take place, like, there's every chance and ability that things could turn around if you would leave it go. So, yeah, it's a really interesting space, a really heavy space. It's something that is currently being talked about and fought over here in Australia. We'd love to get your ideas. We'd love to know what you think about this. 0491-064-669 is the number to text. Let us know what you think.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
True or false? Nicodemus is only mentioned in John's Gospel.
Oh, okay. There you go. 0491-064-669. Of course, our amazing prizes for this week. Amazing Facts, Volume 1, 2, and 3. This is your last opportunity to get in for them. So, again, that question was true or false. Nicodemus is only mentioned in John's Gospel. 0491-064-669. You're listening to The Breakfast Show this morning. We did have an interview lined up with John Boston, but in the... Sorry, not John Boston. I should say Tony Benjamin. But in the last 10 minutes, unfortunately, we were informed that Tony couldn't make the interview. So we've slid in an interview. This is Danuta with Chaplain Ken Duke.
And it's come time for us to have our interview with Pastor Ken Duke. Ken, good morning to you and welcome on the show.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Yeah, lovely to have you on the show. And I was so excited to hear we have you on today. We go back a fair way back, don't we, Ken? And
we do. Yeah.
And I know you do absolutely fabulous work. So, Ken, you have been now for a number of years working in aged care. You are working as a chaplain in aged care facility at Avondale in Currumbong. Avondale Adventist Aged Care Facility, it's called, isn't it? And Senior Living. And you've also just recently been appointed as the chaplain to oversee and support other chaplains in aged care Australia-wide. Is that the case?
That is the case. Interesting times.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit first about Avondale Adventist Aged Care and Senior Living, and then we're keen to know also from you, we'll ask you some questions throughout, but what led you actually to being a chaplain in aged care? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's interesting when you start to think about what you've been doing for the last probably 12 years, moving from chaplaincy role at Sydney Adventist Hospital and into aged care, and wondering about where God sort of puts you and why he puts you in those places. Mm-hmm. But what's really struck me about it all is the connection that we make and continue to develop in relationship with our residents and with people who are associated with Adventist Senior Living.
So tell us a little bit about those relationships. What is it in particularly that you love about that connecting, and what kind of changes do you see happening?
Well, when we connect with people, it actually helps us to be able to develop and learn and grow together, because we can talk about all sorts of things that actually matter to us rather than just sort of, you know, sometimes we focus on our religious needs and we talk about things of God and make that the central part. But, you know, when I look at how Jesus operated, I see often how he connected with people and he found their need and met their need. And I really like that form of ministry.
Absolutely. And so what do you see as the greatest needs when it comes to aged care?
Well, most often, I think it's about feeling loved and being cared for. Mm-hmm. You know, I like the text in John 13 that tells us that we will be known because we love each other. Mm. You know, and the love we share for each other that will really help others to understand that there's so much more to this faith thing than just the focusing on God and focusing on the theology, I suppose, of all of that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the love and the connection we have with people actually really does make a difference.
Absolutely. And then through that, because God is love, God's word tells us, because God is love, and when we're actually connecting with people and sharing them with love, we are, you know, displaying and reflecting Jesus in every way then, aren't we?
Yeah, and they will see that, because it's not just a strategy that we have to, you know, we're going to care for people because they can then come to know God. Mm. If we care for people as a way of life, then they will come to know God.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's beautiful. And tell us, when it comes to aged care, what do you particularly notice with those who are, as they're getting, you know, older, do you find that they do tend to feel like less loved, or family members don't necessarily visit them? Like, why is this such an important aspect? Because it is. Why is it particularly important as folk are getting older?
Well, I think one of the things I see is as we get older, our friends base diminishes because our friends are passing away. And if we live to a ripe old age, then there are many who are, you know, well, we've got a few in our village who are over 100.
Wow.
They don't have a lot of friends left.
Possibly
the friends
family
they
too.
Spend a lot. Sorry?
Or possibly family too. Some of the young ones underneath them may also be passing away too.
That does happen, yeah. Yeah, so the loneliness and the just not being able to connect with in meaningful relationships around them. So as a chaplain, we connect, or in the spiritual care team we have at Adventist Senior Living, we connect with that sort of stuff every day.
That's beautiful. So what kind of things do you do to connect people with others? Because I know when I've been down there before, one of the things I really love too is that there's actually programs on throughout the week to actually get people of the same ages and that can move around, coming together, and those that are in, for instance, a nursing home and can't move around, there's things for them as well. So what kind of things do you offer as a team?
Yeah, what I love about the aged care space is often people think, you know, they go into their rooms and they don't get much attention, and, you know, there's not a lot happening in the retirement villages. In our village, we've got a program that I call Making Music. Mm-hmm. And we started years ago making ukuleles in our men's shed. Well, it's not a men's shed, it's a hobby shed. Everyone's
lovely.
Welcome.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the making of the instruments was interesting because I could – I would leave that out because I've got some luthier skills and love to be able to work on different things as part of my ministry. And in doing so, spending time with the residents who would come into the shed, and we would spend 3 to 6 months, one day a week, not one day, a couple of hours a week, mm-hmm. Working on an instrument that was highly polished, highly finished, and good quality instrument, for the purpose of that whole purpose was just to connect with each of those residents and let them tell their story, share some of what their story is about, and of course have conversations about faith and values and all of those things. Mm. And from that, the instrument making became learning the instrument. So then there would be 20 or 30 people in a room who were learning how to play an instrument. Of course, that gives them skills, and it gives them space to be social and connect with each other. And inevitably, that group would then become a group that would go out together sometimes and share life together. And from that, so that takes out some of that loneliness. Mm-hmm. From that, the group would learn and well enough to be able to play music to our residents, those who were in our nursing home.
Isn't that powerful?
So then they would be adding value to residents who can't get up and can't get out. But tell you what, it's amazing. It doesn't matter what age you are. When you start to sing songs of the past, even those with dementia would be mouthing the words or singing the words because they're songs that everybody knows.
Isn't that powerful? And it's igniting parts of the brain that have kind of become dormant because they're not moving around, or like you say, you know, with dementia and things like that. But so many areas are sparked and bring about life, don't they? And I love what you're just saying, Ken, about how, you know, the loneliness has been taken away by creating these connections and purpose, you know, for them to make instruments, but beyond that, then blessing others through what they have created with you and with your team there in every way, and connecting, you know, to others and bringing life back to them in many ways, you could say. Hey,
yeah
wow.
And it adds even more because the families want to get involved. Mm. So we've had family members playing the bass or the some other instrument in the band. You know, you have 15 or 20 instruments, ukuleles playing, and then you need a few other instruments to make that sound good.
wow. Yeah, right. So it gets the variety. And my, you know, research actually shows that as people get older, if they learn new activities or things like, you know, new songs, new music or crosswords or things, you know, new things, that it actually keeps the brain just working so much better, so it can actually prevent dementia too, can't it? So it's actually serving. Go on. Yep.
And in all of that, the connections become deeper. So all of those people that I've been mixing with in the ukulele space have that they trust me a little bit more. So when things are not going well, then conversations happen. And if there's support needed and prayer and connection to whatever faith they hold, because some will be of faith and some not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's quite valuable. the engagement of that.
Absolutely. That's really huge, isn't it? Because what you've created is this trust relationship. And on top of that, you know, the word that comes to me is belonging, isn't it? They have this sense of belonging and purpose, belonging to a community and not being on their own and lonely. And who
doesn't want that?
Absolutely. That's
right. It doesn't matter what age we are, we're looking for community, aren't we?
Absolutely. And tell us to a little bit, Ken, about, you know, your connections then with family. So, you know, there's a lot that happens with the residents there. But tell us a bit about your connections with family and then also staff and how you support them as a chaplain as well.
Well, I have to think a little bit about it. There's so many things going on all the time. When it comes to connecting with families, often it's in the space of their loved one, a parent or grandparent is on their deathbed, and that's not something we like to think too much about, but as that's part of the role of a chaplain is to be present in that space and to just be a spiritual or a godly presence that allows them to just sit with what's happening and to contemplate that and wonder about the meaning of life in relation to that.
Mm-hmm.
What's so important to me is in those spaces that the Spirit of God is present and is engaging those that are suffering, you know, because suffering brings about a whole lot of emotions.
Mm.
We don't always know how to deal with those. So as a chaplain, the training is to be able to sit with, be okay with death and dying and help the family member to be able to be present with that as much as they are able and allow God to speak into that space.
Yeah, wow, that's beautiful. And you'd be doing that so much, wouldn't you? Because, you know, funerals, you know, at that age, like you say, you know, they can be just so common. And so supporting family, especially through that, is a real privilege, don't you feel?
It certainly is, yeah. And it's an ongoing connection, and it doesn't just happen in that space. Often if there's support needed down the track, or there's some sort of trauma or concern, the phone call comes. It's like, oh, you did the funeral of my grandma, grandpa, and I really found that helpful. Can we talk about some things?
Oh, wow. So it's opening doors into so many more areas as well for talking about, which is powerful. So, Ken, we've got about a minute or so left. What would you like to particularly leave our listeners with? What's the take-home message in the last minute or so that you'd like to share with our listeners, please?
I think for me, life is about connecting. It's about relationships. And when I watch how Jesus operated, he met with the people and he was able to care for them in amazing ways. And they were real and he was present with them and he showed them who he was and then asked them to follow him.
Mm.
You know, for me, it wasn't, it's this concept of being kind and loving and caring, not for the purpose of anything other than to show kindness and love and care as a Christian.
Mm.
So others can see that Christians can be this way, not as a strategy, but as a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And as a chaplain, I find that so valuable, being in Christ and letting him speak out of us, out of our journey and out of our way of living.
Love what you've said there. Yeah, just being it's about the life that we live with that and letting God work through us. I love what you've said with that so much. Thank you so much, Ken, for what you've shared with us. God bless you and your staff with all that you're doing there at Avondale Senior Living.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.